Peter Hill Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about foundation scientific discoveries or advances which are miraculous, truly miraculous, in the fact that they occurred of people understanding things when the actual phenomena they were looking for couldn't possibly have been seen. So this is sort of like these things which are, I suppose you'd call it in modern speak, a glitch in the matrix, something which is so good, so perfect, that it actually defies a little bit of logic. It's not things that science can't explain, which sort of prove God or aliens. It's things that science shouldn't be able to explain, but yet has explained ahead of its time, and it all makes perfect sense till you actually say, hang on, go back. If we go back to this point in history, that couldn't have happened. We now know that this sequence is all impossible, and there's that move on, nothing you see here, friends, and people really want to push you across and think that you're drawing straws or making things too hard by actually asking these questions. So in this episode, we're going to go over a number of scientific discoveries or truths that were sort of understood before the actual measurements for them actually fully arrived or could be repeated. Now, I've got a series of these. I just hope I can remember them all the way up. The one that sort of is a bit of a head-scratcher, they say, is the Aztec or Inca civilizations, somewhere around there. They used to have the belief or the understanding or the astral perception that Alpha Centauri, our nearest star, is a double star. Now, to let you off the hook, it is actually a double star, if not a triple star. And you can see it fairly easily with a fairly good pair of binoculars. You can actually find the pointers, look at it. And there it is. Instead of one star, there's actually two individual points of light going about the place. That's quite a beautiful thing to do. And I sort of, if I get some binos, there's a few things I check out all the time just to check that I am in the universe. I actually haven't died. I mean, put in a computer simulation, because surely if that's true, that's there. That's sort of a reality check for me. The only problem is that the Incas did it, and they had no glass, no optics, no method of seeing this phenomena. They had no binoculars, yet they knew about it and could perceive it. And even if their eyes were incredibly good, they would never be good enough to see these two points of light. And a bit of a head scratcher, how can that happen? So there's lots of things we've mucked up, but the things we get right really point to me. You know, you have to get an option. Was it aliens that came down to talk to them, or was it in fact God? You know, God coming down. That's my closest bet to it. Now, the other phenomena, there's various stories of Immanuel Kant, and this is not too hard, but he was able to work out a hell of a lot about magnetism and magnetic currents of the Earth just by rational argument. That's okay, but he got so much right, and they got so much right in the early story of magnetism, they sort of came across it almost too quickly to get across it. That's one story here. This will be relatively quick. Another story is the story of the story of the discovery of electromagnetic radiation. It's a series, iconic series of a spark gap, Hertz, and a spark gap producing radio waves, and it's been picked up by seeing the spark between two tiny little balls on a pickup antenna. And indeed, he did really good observations of it and really extensive experiments. Beyond doubt, it's really good, except no one, to my knowledge, is able to reproduce photograph or film his original work proving radio waves. Now, I've got no doubt that he could see it, and he did something special, and he was specially gifted. The only problem is, now, science is built on reproducibility, and the actual process of reproducibility, we learn something by not being able to reproduce it. And so what we learned is that there was some sort of special force, some sort of magical, spiritual force, which allowed Hertz to actually observe the first radio wave. So the radio antenna would create a sparking between two balls, a pickup antenna, two terminals of a pickup antenna. So, look, I'm sure he did. I'm sure he had the ability to. It's just a bit of a head-scratcher. Another one which sort of comes, there's lots of things where the Greeks got things miraculously right, in a complicated way. They've got cell theory miraculously right. It's sort of just, it's mind-boggling how they got it right. And then there's Brownian motion. Sort of have these things that you have a modern microscope and the observation of smoke. You can actually get some smoke in a modern microscope and you can just barely see it. But it's one of these things about whether Brown, the botanist, will be able to clearly see Brown in motion with the microscopes that he had at the available at the time. Now, the story is that he's probably extraordinarily gifted and just set things up in the right way we don't fully understand. But it's a foundation piece of science, and we should actually say, look, hang on, it's not fully correct. So, restarting this podcast after an interruption, this is the disadvantage or the advantage of getting such volume of podcasts through. We've got Hertz proving launching us into the radio era on a project which can't actually be easily reproduced again. And so a lot of this comes over and over again. There's the magnetism of Immanuel Kant. So Immanuel Kant worked out a lot of magnetic theory, and the actual discovery of magnetism was people, Ørsted, actually a Swedish person, looking at trying to actually understand a theological concept. So there's all these things which are hard to go. There's Brown looking at, as we mentioned, may have been up to Brown, Brown looking at Brown in motion. These are these little particles moving up and down, and moving around, being battered around by air molecules. Now, the thing about that is it's very unlikely that a modern person, any modern scientist, would credibly be able to observe this with today's equipment. And you can observe it with today, a good equipment today, but with things like smoke and things like that, it's very hard, difficult to observe. But what's more telling is that people love to quote a quote from 350 BC, where someone, I can't believe it's that old, observed dust particles jiggling around and with the naked eye, and actually had a fairly good, correct explanation of what's going on, or can be construed now as a good way of going on. So I think one of the things is that there's this large random another thing would be Bruno from 1600, who eventually got burnt, believed that there were planets around every star, and seriously believed it. And now we're finding that there's 1.2 planets around, on average, around every single star in the galaxy. You know, these people are right, and I don't know whether it's a function of so many different ideas bubbling up that we look back and say there's the right one, but there's this uncanny ability or uneasiness that you sort of the present we live in is so arguably true and strong. We have electronics, we have radio waves, we have all this modern technology is built on, and we feel it so sure. It's just that when we go back in history, we have this security that the story that narrative we're told is correct, and it has to be correct. But there's things which are still mysterious on how that actually happened. So is there a benefit for it? I do think there is a benefit for it. There's these, it's your attitude of surety that the story that you've been handed up is the correct one, because you are sure of your present, and the past story, which is coherent with the present. You therefore sort of transfer your sureness at the back there, and you can't sort of see the different forces at play, the different things at play that people could see, the various things, or you have a story which is so strong that it's told in such a strong way, you feel this must be right. And it's like the story of Hertz and the photoelectric effect. There was a story that Hertz couldn't see the spark unless there was some UV light in the room, some light in the room. Now, this is sort of contradictory. This is such a fine spark, you need a very dimly lit room. But we know that the sparks are helped by ultraviolet light, giving a photoelectric effect. It really doesn't make sense. And this obscures an actual piece of history where light came across and discharged a capacitor that is... had the photoelectric effect and caused the capacitor discharge, and Hertz noted it and just noted it down. So he was the first one to observe the photoelectric effect, but it's not bound together with his observation of radio waves, and we've sort of bound it together. And so people get so confident in the past, just in the past, that when it's tweaked or twisted or parts are removed, they just become very disturbed. You feel that you're attacking their present. It's just the past is a far more complicated beast when you look at it. It's got far more nuances and other possible interpretations that are going on if you're not biased. It's sort of like our view of the past is biased by our present and our values of the present. That's a podcast for you. Thanks for listening. Another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. May you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.